the Green Knight, 824.
Oh, yeah, we did the first one. When did we do the first one? You have some notes, I'm sure. I don't have the notes.
The Green Knight?
We did another trailer, the first Green Knight trailer.
We did?
There's 160 of these episodes.
I don't think we did.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, God. Ted's going to prove me wrong.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is episode 160, and here we are on a Saturday night, and we got beers, the week, trailers, and what we're watching. How the heck are you?
There we go. I'm good. I got a big one tonight, so we should get going.
Yeah, you have like, what is that, 64 ounces?
It's a 64, but Frank and I already had one beer out of it. Each, so it's a little down.
Oh, okay, so you only have 52 ounces to go.
But I think I'm only going to have one beer out of this and then save the rest for Frank and I.
What's the beer?
It's such a good one.
Is it the spicy
one? It's that Chabasco.
The Nacho Libre?
El Chabasco Spicy IPA.
El Chabasco.
64.
Well, every week we always have like IPAs. We have stouts. We have, well,
woo!
Oh, that was under some pressure. We have more IPAs. We have more stouts. Every once in a while, a Belgian. But tonight I have a Kolsch, a Reisendorf Kolsch. So this is...
That's refreshing, a refreshing beer.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? Let's do something a little different. It's one pint, 9 fluid ounces. I have no idea what the ABV is. It's like everything's so tiny on this can, I can't see.
Kolsch's, though.
They're like 5%.
They're sub 5 usually.
Yeah, so it's not much. And throughout the night, I was drinking Coors Banquet. We were doing brats and beer, and we were cooking brats in Coors, and then I threw it on the grill after a while. So I thought, you know what? Let's just keep it with the same kind of a style, I guess. And
how is that? Oh, you have a nice tulip glass there for that.
Yeah. We have a little tulip glass there. Very nice, very light-bodied, nice lager. I know you're not a fan of lagers.
Kolsch's are, you know, they're like the fancy lager, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just start with what I've been doing this week. Being fully vaccinated and having more people that are fully vaccinated.
Oh, God, he's an anti-masker.
No, it has really opened up our dance card. Like, we are doing multiple events.
Oh, Ted's a mask hole
now. we wear masks to all the events.
I'm kidding.
And then everybody else isn't wearing masks, and it was like, we're outside, we're vaccinated, and we're like, okay, well, we're eating anyway, so one of our good friends had their son's first communion, so we went to the park and hung out in the park with them at, you know, today for lunch, and then we had a really good friend that had a birthday party this evening. So we went to the birthday party and had some beers there. And it was so funny because they were like, Modelo. And I was like, ugh, I'm not really a Modelo fan, you know?
Modelo's okay. It's okay.
Modelo's okay. It's the fancy beer, right? It's like a party beer. But I was like, oh, I saw some Pacifico. And I'm like, if I have a choice between Pacifico and Modelo, I was going Pacifico all the way. So I had like 3 or 4 Pacificos at this party, and then had to jet home to get on the microphone with you. But it was great. It was good to go out a couple of times today. But I'm like exhausted. I, you know, this is the most going out that I've done in the past 2 weeks.
You're out of practice.
I'm just like, oh, I can't even like be out in public. You know what I mean?
You're like, Ann, I can only see people for an hour. I'm out of shape. I'm not even warmed up. Come on.
And they were worried about me drinking the beers. So I was just like,
who's
I'm fine
they?
With the beers. You know, the family. They're like,
oh. Why would they be worried about you having some beer?
I don't know, because, you know, because I'm out of practice of drinking in public. I just drink with you on Friday and Saturday night, and that's, and then Frank every now and then, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I'm well in
but,
practice,
but Pacifico, sadly. But Pacifico and, you know, Modelo, those are, what, are those 3%ers, you know?
It's no, they're like, about 4.5, I'd say.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, the Modelo, you know, I don't know which way I would lean if it was Modelo or Pacifico. I'd probably go Pacifico, but typically if I'm at a party like that, you know, we go to like a kid's party in the neighborhood and they have like, you know, some sort of like one of the yellow fizz lagers. You know, I typically go for the one that's less popular because it's probably slightly better, you know, but like, but if I see anything that says like light or I don't even, you know, it's just any of those kind of like Bud Light, Miller Light, like, right. Okay, I'm done.
Or what was the one? What was the one that
Coors Light
that Clarissa got for free at work? The
Oh, I was going to do one Firestone. Of those tonight.
That was good. That looked good.
It's the
95 calorie or whatever.
It's the Flyjack, Clarissa? Flyjack? Or Flyjack. Yeah, it's 96 calories.
Yeah.
4% ABV. It looks like urine. I'm not kidding. It's like this super weird yellow. And I had one. I think I had like a Voodoo Ranger or something, and then she
you can't have a Voodoo Ranger and then follow with a Flyjack.
Exactly,
you gotta go
right?
The other way around.
No,
man.
I know. So she rolls up and I'm like a Voodoo Ranger in, and then she's like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll have one. I'm like, I can't even taste it.
The palate is destroyed. Oh, yeah. By the Voodoo Ranger.
My palate was just like thrashed. It wasn't even taste. It was not registering, you know. But then I thought, okay, it was like the next night or whatever. I told her, I said, okay, I had nothing. So let's see what this does on a fresh, clean palate.
Yeah.
And I got to say, though, it's like hazy IPA light.
Nice. I mean, I was excited to see it. I like Firestone.
Well, we got 18 of them for nothing. So at some point, like, you had me a free beer. Yeah. So now, you know, I tilt one back, you know, to get the night started, you know, like it gets me warmed up. It's like, okay, that was like honestly, so it has that Citra hop, you know, and it.
Yeah.
The best way to describe it, it's like starting the night with like a lemonade.
Okay. It's nice.
So like a Hard Jack lemonade or whatever those are, you know, it like starts it with that and you're kind of like, it's a little sweet, a little crisp. You know, I mean, I can operate a chainsaw and drink at the same time.
Well, you can do that with any beer, but, you know, not safely. So, yes, you can safely operate the chainsaw.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you know, I can't complain. Free beer. What are you going to do?
Right.
But
right.
I appreciate Firestone for sending free beer our way for Nurses Week. So.
So Frank and I were having that first glass out of this growler this week. And I went over there middle of the week and I just said, here, let's crack open this growler. So we got to get through it. Cause you know, the growler, you can't
like
let
it's
the growler
work.
Sit around. You can't let the growler sit around too long. You know, you can't, they'll lose its fizz and be kind of flat. And you have to, then you're stuck there drinking, you know, open beer. Anyway. So Frank and I have our glasses and Barbara pulls up, you know, and we're like, oh, we love this IPA. It's spicy, you know, a little spicy, not too spicy. And Barbara's like, give me a sip. And we're like, oh, great. You know, we're going to have Barbara talk about how much she hates our beer. And then she took a sip and she was, you know, flavor profiling it. And she said, that's not terrible.
That's hilarious. What a way to describe it.
Frank and I, our heads were exploding. We're like, oh my God, that's like an endorsement from Barbara for a beer.
From Moscato to a Nacho Libre IPA or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's hilarious.
How was your week?
Yeah, our week was pretty light. I mean, we didn't do a whole lot. A lot of yard work, I'd say. The mornings, man, like the air is so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not raining, but we register like a tenth of precipitation. I wouldn't even call it rain because it's not rain, but it's just like mist.
Uh-huh.
Easily a tenth every morning. Like we had like an almost, I don't know, like close to 3/4 of an inch of rain this past week in just like
oh, wow.
fog rain. So bizarre. I ride to work, man. I show up, I'm soaked, you know?
Wow. And it's so dry down here. We're in the middle of a fire right now. That we at the party, there was ash falling on
no
us. And I was
way.
Like, here's some LA snow for you. It's ash falling out of the hills.
LA snow. Where's the fire?
They always name the fire out of the woods, the mountains that are around it. And I'm like, no one knows. Can you name it after streets or freeways or areas?
Right, because right.
You name it after Latuna Canyon, and I have no clue. What
oh,
you're
is it?
About.
Is it out of Latuna Canyon?
No.
Oh,
but that's the last one I remember.
Oh, because so that's off the 210 there, but yeah, you know that it's been really wet. It's been really chilly and cold.
Lucky for you.
And so this afternoon we're sitting there and, you know, we were expecting Frank to show up because we were hoping he'd get his bike and all. He hasn't gotten it yet.
Yeah,
so.
Such a heartache. We gotta find that thing.
We had the whole weekend planned with my in-laws to be here. I was going to put his bike together for him. And so nothing, you know, they're not coming and they don't have the bike. So me and Clarissa are like, what do we do? I said, let's toss some cornhole. So we got it set up in the front, right?
Uh-huh.
And we have music blasting and we're
normally you cornhole in the back, if you know.
Oh, hey. But yeah, we're blasting music, we're drinking beers, and you know, neighbors are walking by and they're like, you have kind of like the small talk of everybody who comes by.
Right.
You know, and we're throwing cornhole, and I mean, it was like a lot of fun. Neighbors coming by, like giving us the business about cornhole and
nice.
And
nice.
Then Clarissa throws one and it's like what's it, not a slippery nipple. What is it? No, a greasy peanut. That's where, like, if it goes through, like, it hits nothing, but it goes right through the hole.
Oh, that's what it's called, a greasy peanut? This is the dirtiest game in the world.
I know, cornhole,
greasy peanut.
Next thing you know, okay. It's like there's going to be somewhere and there's a dirty Sanchez. I don't know. But yeah, otherwise, it's been like we've been just board gaming it, and it's just been a quiet week. I mean, you know, fortunately, so.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ted, do I have to watch the previous Venom to get this Venom, or is this a one-off? Can I watch it without?
You know, this trailer, Venom.
Let there be carnage.
Let there be carnage. This is actually, I thought what this trailer did was something, it felt like it was double hitting. Like, it made me want to see the first movie.
Oh, you never saw the first one. Okay.
No, I never saw the first one.
I didn't either, so.
And you didn't either, but now you see this and you're like, was Venom, you know, this funny alien the whole time? Did we miss something in the first movie by not seeing it? Or was he, because, you know, the trailer for the first Venom was all about like an indescript alien monster ooze, you know, oil or whatever. And now that he has like personality and he's like cooking breakfast and stuff and
right.
wanting to eat the bodega lady, you know what I mean?
And it seems like the people at the I don't know, the 7-Eleven or the convenience store, like they're like, hey, it's up, Venom. Like,
yeah, yeah, the bodegas. Everybody knows him. Yeah, everybody knows him, and he's like doing stuff. So
is he kind of like the Venom Deadpool in a way? Because it seems that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he has some character, some personality, and it is nice juxtaposition to kind of a serious Tom Hardy, you know, like Tom Hardy gets to play the mean hard guy and then the killer alien gets to play the comic relief. And I was like, you know, we'll see how, I would love to see in the first one how much that played out.
Yeah. And the comic relief, that's the gravelly alter ego alien voice or whatever it is. Is that what
right,
you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I'm a little bit confused on, and I hope you can help clear it up, is in association with Marvel.
Hmm.
So I'm not really familiar with, like, I don't think, well, we might have seen that moniker, but, like, what does that mean?
I think it's just Sony, like, flexing a little bit, you know? They're the main headliner
okay.
as far as a production company goes. They have recently, through a couple of, you know, I listened to The Business and I listened to some other industry stuff, Deadline. They've recently done some deals Oh, and it was not only that, but also my my Snacks Daily guys, Nick and Jack, they were talking about Sony. And it says, in the arms race of streaming, Sony has decided to be arms dealer. You know, so it's like, so like,
yeah, but this isn't streaming, it's coming straight to theater, right?
But it's a shortened window, and they're selling the movies to the stream, different streaming services.
Okay.
So they, for the Marvel stuff, they made deals with Disney Plus, and then for other stuff, they've made deals with Paramount and Netflix, and they're just supplying the content the way that other people, you know, the way that other production companies have in the past. And kind of when you supply the content and you stay above the fray, you stay out of it and you don't become competitors, you can, you know, kind of make your own separate deal and you can deal with everybody, you know what I mean? So I thought that was a great characterization of just like being an arms dealer in an arms race of streaming services. You know, it's like they get to make tons. They're going to make tons of money, boatloads of money for the next 10 years off of these huge deals with, you know, the three main providers.
Yeah, because they can, well, pardon the pun, but they can dish it to everybody, right? And
yeah,
they
can, exactly.
They kind of spread the love and then reap right. the benefit from all the different distributors.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Or
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's the old story from the, I forget which, which of the last, the sequel trilogy. What was the second movie in the sequel trilogy?
For which? I'm
trying to look at my walls here. The Force Awakens was 7. What's 8? The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, yeah.
So The Last Jedi has that great scene where they talk about, well, that's where they go to the gambling planet, right? Like
Sabacc?
Isn't that, Sabacc's the game.
Sabacc's the game, right.
But they go to the gambling planet and there's all those gamblers in the rich gambling planet that has the crazy horse races and stuff.
Okay.
Was that in that? Was that Force Awakens? I forget. Anyway, they have those gamblers, and part of the big business in the gambling planet was arms dealers.
Okay.
They sold X-Wings and they sold TIE Fighters. They didn't care. They just bought and sold all the weaponry, you know?
Exactly.
So that's what Sony's doing here. So that's why I think in association with Marvel, you know, lets you know that it's going to go the Marvel route as far as streaming, but it still puts Sony at the head of the production.
I don't know. I mean, are you going to be a Venom fan, or are you a Venom fan? What's your opinion?
I like this angle of Venom. This Venom feels more like the Max. Have you remember the Max on MTV?
The Max? No, I don't.
The Max was a cartoon, and he was like a homeless superhero.
He's a hobo.
Yeah, but he fell in love with his caseworker / what was she? She was like
a therapist or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He fell in love with his therapist, and he ends up like having to slay all these little things. And there was, I don't know. Anyway, the Max is this crazy cartoon out of Liquid TV back in the day.
I remember Liquid TV.
MTV had Liquid TV, and they had all these shorts and things. And the Max was one of these shorts. So the way that the Venom monster talks makes me feel like it's channeling a little bit of that. So I this is a definite want to watch. And because they struck the deal for the Spider-Man franchise with Disney Plus, I'm just excited to see when this stuff comes out. You know, Venom should be there soon. I don't know if they're gonna package it, but I'm pretty sure it'll be there.
Do you think that you would watch the first Venom first, or do you think you would just jump into this, or does it even matter?
It would be however it's laid out on Disney Plus. If Disney Plus only gets this one, then I would start with this. But if they get both of them at the same time, then I'd be like, let's watch it in order.
Otherwise, where do you think the other one would be? They just won't have it, or what do you think would happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's an existing deal.
Right.
I feel like Paramount Plus or Paramount TV Plus is probably paying top dollar. You know what I mean? They're probably the one needing the most.
Oh, Paramount did the other one?
I think, I don't know. I don't think they did the other one. Sony did all of them.
Oh, okay.
But I think they're the one that's going to pay like the most for content.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say I like Venom as far as just to have a popcorn movie to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think I would watch this with my kids right now. It seems a little bit too a little too scary, a little too dark for a 6 and an 8, 7 year old. No, 8 year old. Yeah. God, they grow too fast. I lose track.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I think that it's a little bit too much. Whether it's the humor that might be too adult or the monster that might be too scary, I'm not really sure which.
Both, little combo.
All of it, yeah. But I would say, though, for myself, I would probably start with the first just so I'm not so lost on the second.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. And then from Venom, we go to a blast to the past with the Green Knight, A24.
Oh, yeah, we did the first one. When did we do the first one? You have some notes, I'm sure. I don't have the notes.
The Green Knight?
We did another trailer, the first Green Knight trailer.
We did?
There's 160 of these episodes.
I don't think we did.
Oh, hold on.
God, Ted's going to prove me wrong. Or you? Wow, I am blanking on this one if we did. I don't think so. All right, learn me.
All right, Blast from the Past. Must have been a teaser trailer. Ah, there it is. Okay.
What episode?
Episode 105.
Get out. I don't believe it.
So, February of last year, there was a trailer for The Green Knight way back in the day before the whole world fell apart and everybody pushed all the movies back. It was The French Dispatch and The Green Knight.
Oh, wow. We did, didn't we? Oh my goodness!
There's 160 episodes. I'll grant you the
that was that was 55 episodes ago.
That's almost a year. It's almost a year and a piece. Yeah.
Well, the date would have been February 19th, 2020. So that was
there. You go
right. Yeah. In the pre-pandemic, a month before.
All the plans. Everybody had plans to release movies, you know, in the theater, and it was going to be great. And then...
Like, we had plans for a whole lot of other than that. Holy cow, man. You blew me out of the water here.
Anyway, yeah, so neither of these movies, neither The French Dispatch nor The Green Mile released. They got held back.
No, The Green Knight.
Oh, what'd I call
Green
it?
The Green Mile.
Oh, that's a different
movie. Like way long ago.
So the Green Knight, and then this trailer came out, and that the first trailer was just dark, and it's A24, and you're just expecting this, and then you know this trailer that came out this week, it's just so much. There's so much more that of a story that it's telling, and it's really diving deep into Dev Patel's character and to the legacy, not the legacy, the story, the folk, the tale of whatever this knight is doing, you know, the story of the knight's trials, you know?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'm all in. I'm going to watch right in my fantasy wheelhouse. I know Clarissa's going to like it. You know, when the guy cuts his head off and he's holding his head in his hand and he's the head is still talking. I mean, like, that's amazing to me. You know,
I I'm not a Game of Thrones guy, but it had like Game of Thrones vibes, doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it has that. I mean, Game of Thrones is fantasy. It has that fantasy fiction, medieval fantasy flair. And yeah, I mean, I think The Green Knight, I think, is if I don't know fully, but I think it's something out of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and like the Feywild and, you know, out of those things. But maybe I'm wrong and it's nothing to do with that, but it's still some sort of magical fiction, medieval fiction fantasy thing. But
right.
Well, that's a guarantee it's that. But
I mean, and then A24 adds like a pedigree on top of it. You know what I mean?
I love their trailers and stuff, man, and their movies.
The quality, yeah, the quality of it, it's going to be high quality.
Whoever's cutting their trailers, they just have an artistic flair to them. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the trailer, as it's going on, and then the sound cuts, and the trailer, there's like a jump cut in the visual and the audio just cuts out completely. It's almost like jarring. I mean, it's almost like there's like a visceral disturbance in you.
Right.
Because you don't know what just happened. And then it continues on for another like 20 seconds or something. their yeah. trailer cutting, I think, is phenomenal. So who's ever doing that,
right.
call us up. We'd like to interview you.
And I think the company themselves are very involved in the trailer, you know, and they
don't just farm it out and say, go do it. And then just, we'll put it up. Whatever you have is good enough. They don't. Yeah, right. Right.
I think they have an executive eye that they put on it, and they want to make sure that it's top notch.
And I would even argue that when you think about like the artistic production and the executive production and the money that comes in and who's paying for things, sometimes when you have production companies paying, they're misaligned with the artist, because artists have their ideas and producers have their ideas, and sometimes those two don't line up. They're mismatched.
Right.
I think with A24, their producers and their production, they're an art house, and the people who started this production company aren't just in it for business,
right?
Solely, they're in it for the artistic side of the craft as well, and it's just phenomenal to see how they put together. I mean, movies, movie trailers, sound scores, color palettes. I mean, you look at the whole thing and it's way more than just production.
Right.
Yeah. I love A24. I've always been a fan of, you know, I haven't seen everything they've done, but I've seen a fair amount of their movies and huge fan.
Right. And it's so funny because they, as a production company, they've connected with the Gen Z, and, you know, Audrey at 15 years old, she's like, if I make movies, they'd definitely be A24. That's my vibe. You know what I mean? So it's like,
well, and that's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's like, I think what it is when, and we love the Marvel stuff, we talk about it all the time.
Right.
When you look at Marvel and you look at Disney and you look at, you know, even Paramount and these huge production companies, they almost get to the point where it's kind of like Budweiser. They have to appeal to a wide palate, you know, a wide range of flavor that people want, and they need to sell to a broad audience.
Right.
Something like A24 is more like your craft brewed IPA or Imperial Stout or something, you know, and
it's like, ooh, it's too bitter for the typical palate.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. The people that love it, love it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're not going to be blockbusters in the way that, you know, Endgame is a blockbuster, where it appeals to, like, I mean, you know, millions of people, and it's going to bring in like $1 billion, you know, worldwide or something.
Right.
But the people that love this style of movie and the artistic flair that A24 brings to the screen, yeah, they're not going to make a lot of money. Well, I should say a lot of money. They're not going to make as much money.
Right.
But they're going to have a loyal base that's going to support them. And it's almost a guarantee that that base is what's going to keep them in business.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it. What do you think?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love Dave Patel. Love this angle on a medieval genre. So I think we're into it. We're looking forward to it.
And I know Bryce has been playing some Dungeons and Dragons. You think he's going to be into this?
No, this is a little dark for
Bryce. Oh, a little dark. Okay. So he's... Yeah, he needs to wait a little bit, huh?
Exactly.
Hey, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. All right, man. What have you been watching all week?
So this week, you know, typically I said I was watching some movies with Audrey during the week.
Yeah.
But this week she brought me to a revival for me. Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
She's watching Gilmore Girls.
Now, what's the time period? Like, when is that, like early aughts, or when did that come out?
I think so. I think early
2010-ish or something.
I think the late aughts. Yeah.
Okay.
The late aughts. No, it had to be the early aughts. I guess it was a long running thing. Because Ann and I started watching that when we first moved to California, and we moved here in 04. And then we did a big catch up before streaming. when we had TiVo, I had like a lifetime subscription to TiVo. So wherever we moved, I had TiVo, and I just was like, all right, we're going to...
Because your dad was a Nielsen guy.
That's right. You remember that story.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's amazing. And you were like crashing Nielsen.
That's right.
I love that.
So here, I looked it up. Gilmore Girls ran from 2000 to 2007, but we moved here in 2004, and I guess that's when we started watching it when we moved to California. And it was so funny because we started watching it in the middle and we were like, oh, this is a great show. We love this show. And Anne loved the show at the time, but now looking back on it, she was kind of frustrated by the show. And because we started watching it in the middle, we're like, oh, it's on reruns on something. So we found it on reruns in some other channel. And because I had the lifetime subscription to TiVo, I was like, oh, I could TiVo all the old episodes. And then we found like an early episode list on Wikipedia. I think Wikipedia was still was available back then.
Okay.
And I printed it out and I put on the side of our television the list. And then, you know, finally when the reruns came on the air and the TiVo started catching them, as they would catch them, I would say, oh, look, we have the next five episodes. Like we can watch it. We can binge it a little bit. And we watched the whole rest of the season, the pre-seasons. We stopped watching the current stuff. And then we went back to the beginning, watched it from the beginning, and then caught up and then watched it live through the end of it. And then at the very last season, I was already working at Disney and I could see them like doing night shoots and stuff at the Warner Brothers lot, you know? So it was kind of cool to watch it wrapping up and doing its thing. So Audrey is about a season into it. And I was like, oh, this is such a good show.
I've never seen it. What's the premise?
So the premise is really about three generations of women in a family. And it's the matriarch. And she's a rich, blue blood, wealthy family. And they have a daughter who's Lorelai Gilmore. And she's played by Lauren Graham. I want to say Heather Graham. No, she's played by Lauren Graham. And Lauren Graham runs off as a rebellious teenager at her debutante ball. And she runs away from the family.
Like the prodigal daughter.
Yeah, exactly. And she goes and gets pregnant.
Oh.
And because she
prodigal daughter
pregnant,
for sure.
She never went home. And she went to a small town in Connecticut and worked at an inn as the hostess at this inn and restaurant. And she raised her daughter in this small town in you know, where she was taken in as the, you know, this young girl in this town. And then she raises her daughter in this small town. And her daughter is played by Alexis Bledel. And this is where we discover Melissa McCarthy. You know, Melissa McCarthy is famous now, but she wasn't. She was Sookie St. James, one of the chefs at the inn. And then by the middle of this run, Lorelai has enough success that she buys the inn and she becomes the proprietor of the inn. But it's really about the relationship. She said she had a horrible relationship with her mother and she didn't want to repeat that with her daughter.
Oh, okay.
And okay. So she has this really close, chummy friendship with her daughter because they're, you know, they're only 16 years apart or something like that. But she's trying to raise her daughter and she kind of, she's the free spirit. And now because the daughter is raised by this free spirit, she becomes kind of the lockdown button up one that wants to go to Yale. And she's kind of self-driven because her mother is such a free spirit, you know? And so it's this very interesting juxtaposition between these three generations of women.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine watching it with your daughter probably is more heartfelt than it is like, you know, me and Clarissa watching it. But you never know.
And you know, the funny thing is, it's so funny that it's, again, this has captured a new generation. It's on Netflix. So new people are seeing it.
Of course. Yeah.
And of course, it's like there's TikToks now. People do little TikTok videos. And it's like every woman, every, you know, girl wants this relationship with her mother. You know, and they show the daughter, they show the granddaughter and the daughter. And then it says, the minute you turn 15 or 16, this becomes your relationship. It shows the, you know, Lorelai and her mother, you know, the bad relationship. So it's it's interesting to see that it's really captured and invigorated a new generation.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to go and learn about Ted and his Nielsen ratings, how he crashed his dad's, what I don't even know what you'd call it, like your dad's box or something.
I crashed the good deal that he had going on with Nielsen, where they were paying him to be a Nielsen family. And for a couple months, they said, we'll just put you on pause.
Since. Yeah. Go back to episode 65.
Wow. That's a blast of the past.
Yeah. We interviewed Todd Holmes, who's Cal State University,
Northridge.
What is it? I went there. We both went there. I can't even say it now. Yeah. Cal State University Northridge professor in
Media marketing. That's right.
Yeah. So go back to episode 65. Check that out. It's definitely a good listen. Todd Holmes was a lot of fun back then too. Well, he's probably still a lot of fun now, but
yes.
But yeah, that episode was fun. Anything else you've been watching? I mean, Gilmore Girls with the daughter.
That's right. That's fun. What about you? We'll go back and forth.
So we did Handmaid's Tale, so the latest episode this week. Both me and Clarissa had the same idea. It's moving along very slowly. It seems like there's a lot of, we're in like a transition.
Okay.
To either a new start, or they just don't know what to write about, so they're just filling time.
Oh, no.
It seems a little bit boring and slow. Not so much as was in the earlier seasons. You know, a one-off week, okay, you know, things happen, and sometimes you just have to switch up your episodes to get to a new story arc, and maybe that's where they are.
Right.
So I'll give them this week, but if it's next week too, then I'm going to be a little upset that I'm investing my time.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I guess they've earned a place where they could go back and forth a little bit, but they really need to engage you, you know, as an audience differently.
Yeah, I don't mind a transition episode in a season or something, you know, because sometimes it starts off, you're bridging the gap from the previous season, you're wrapping up those stories and you're wrapping up those character arc, whatever, and now you're going to start, there's a new endeavor, and maybe you have a transition episode that's going to bring you into that and stuff, and that's fine. I mean, like, those things go on. If it continues like this, though, because even like the whole season so far has been fairly slow. Well, I should say the whole season. There's been an episode or two that hasn't been really exciting. Mm-hmm. I just hope it doesn't continue down this path and it picks back up.
Okay.
So I've always enjoyed this series, and I think it's a great, great story, a great series. Clarissa's read the book. The first book. I haven't yet. I plan to.
Isn't this off the sequel? Isn't this season supposed to be off the sequel?
I don't know if it is or not.
Okay.
I think it's, that's a good question.
I think they switched. I think like the first four, this is the fifth season or the third? This is
fourth.
So I think the first three, maybe this one too, because it got picked up for multiple seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. Well, it'd be interesting to know whether this is for that.
So what's next on your list?
Speaking of that, so we both watched Bad Batch, right?
We did, yes.
Okay. What did you think about this week's episode?
I thought, well, there were two things. The title shows up Replacements.
Uh-huh.
And I thought of Band of Brothers.
Okay.
Right? With the Replacements. That was an episode in the Band of Brothers and, a chapter in the book as well.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought what was really cool is how they explained Finn.
Oh, okay.
Because what they did was they were saying how the genetic material of the clones was becoming weaker or worse, or however they worded it.
Right.
And they said the only...
Jango Fett was degrading.
Yeah, and they said the only way we're going to... I don't know, however Tarkin was saying it. The only way we're going to keep our lot of soldiers strong or something was through conscription.
Yes.
And right when he said that, the first thing that popped in my head was Finn in a stormtrooper outfit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he was conscripted. And that's he's not a clone. Bing! The light goes off. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely pushing hard into the transition between the clones and the clone troopers and the stormtroopers, and it is a nice play between the two things, because obviously this Bad Batch is a, it's a hybrid of sorts where they're not,
they're clone-ish,
straight up clones. They're modifications. They're modifications of the clone. They're right. Modifications of the genetic cloning process. And then, you know, it's so funny because we had a marathon of Disney Channel Friday releases that we watched in a row because we had, we started off with Big Shots.
Is that the Mighty Ducks one?
Which is the basketball. No, Big Shots is the basketball, the girls' high school basketball team.
Oh, that one. Okay.
With John Stamos. And that, I think that's our favorite of the ones that are going on right now. As far as a family goes, the whole family gets into wanting to watch that. So that's the first.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The first one we want to watch because it's, you know, it's got multiple storylines. It's got love interests, you know. Anne's interested because John Stamos is dreamy. you know, Audrey's interested because there's cute boys in it.
Right.
You know? And then Bryce and I like the sports angle, the action of it. You know, there's some good sports tension in there.
Nice.
But it's really a well made program. And it's, you know, okay. It's David E. Kelly. So
yeah.
So it's the first thing we watch, and then we just hit the whole cycle. We watch that first, then we watch Game Changers, which is the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, that's the Mighty Ducks one, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's got Lauren Graham in it. So Lauren Graham, which I'm watching all week, and Gilmore Girls. I see her 20 years later, 20 years
wow.
older, and she's in this, you know? So she's still playing very similar character, huh. A single mom, you know?
And right, right.
Never fully achieves it, but she's, you know, she's achieving stuff now. And so they're winning, and that's a good episode. And then the third thing that we're watching is the new season of High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's come back for season two, and this week was the premiere episode. So we watched that third. Anne's not interested in that at all. She kind of tuned out on that one, and she fell asleep on that.
Now, what is her rejection of it? What's the reason?
I don't know. I guess she was never a fan of High School Musical. So that's part of it. I think I have some nostalgia for High School Musical because it was on the Disney Channel before I started there. I was still at Bravo when it was on the Disney Channel, but it was kind of like this phenomenon that took over, and all of cable television was just like, you know, in awe of it happening. And so when I came to Disney, we were doing High School Musical 2, the sequel, and we were, you know, in promoting that and helping that through production, through, you know, promotion. And so it just reminds me of the early years working at Disney Channel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But this is just, it's fun. It's well done. And I like to gaslight Audrey a little bit because every time they run around the school, I was like, that school looks just like the school in High School Musical, because they actually went back to the same school and shot in that same school. And so she's always like, well, that's, you're stupid. Why are you so stupid? You know? And then Anne's like, don't talk to your father like that.
So, oh, God.
Anyway, so that, and then we ended the night with the Bad Batch, and I fell asleep.
No way.
I fell asleep after, what, 3 hours of watching programming.
I was going to say, you've been sitting there so long, man. Like, you just went into like a lull.
And then I was like, oh, here it goes. This is the bad sign for the Bad Batch. And then
because you fell asleep.
Because I fell asleep. And then I watched it again. And, you know, I came clean and I told Bryce, I was like, I think I fell asleep during the Bad Batch. Anne was like, all right, so we have a little time here. Watch it again with Daddy. In between.
Your dad has work to do. He's got to watch it again.
Well, we are between our communion party and the birthday party. So we're like, oh, let's watch the Bad Batch again. In our little half hour break between the two parties. So I watched it again, and I think Crosshair to me was like, oh man, he's
ruthless.
He is knocking the new guys out. He's killing civilians. It's like, it's, he's ruthless, but you know, good soldiers follow orders. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, it's so genius. And then, like, I think it redeemed itself this week a little bit. We were hard on this last week, and I think there was enough meat to this episode that I feel like that we're gonna give arcs to a lot of these different characters, and I think that's gonna be satisfying.
With that saying, good soldiers follow orders or whatever, and let me jump back to The Handmaid's Tale. And there's scenes where, like, they're running down some street in Chicago or wherever they are. Yeah, I guess they're in Chicago. They're running down some street in Chicago, and here comes, like, some F-18s dropping ordinances.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, like, okay, if this were, like, a real, if this were to really happen and it were a real story, and even when we first got into the show, I would tell Clarissa, I'm like, I don't think this could happen. Like, I don't, like, if you go back to, say, January 6th, right? And, like, the insurrection at the Capitol and everything. Sure, there are people, you know, a handful of people. And if you look at it on a, I don't know, per capita or something, there might even be, like,
fraction of a percent.
Yeah, there might even be like 100,000 people, let's say. That's like a lot of people. But when you look at it in terms of 330 million or something, like those that percentage is fairly small.
Right.
And even 100,000, I can't even see that many. But with that said, you have these you know, they're talking about how they have this massive military and how nobody in the on the planet's going to stop Gilead, that's the name of the country, from doing whatever they want to do because, like, their military is so powerful and all this stuff, and they're dropping ordinances and, you know, bombing Chicago and whatever it is. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, you might have like a crazy or two, but I don't see Marines and soldiers and seamen and airmen and, you know, pilots and all this stuff doing what they would have to do to overthrow essentially the United States. You know, I just don't see it happening.
Right.
And what Crosshair said, good soldiers follow orders. Like, okay, sure, you're going to follow orders. But to the point, like, you're going to bomb your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
Not even civilians, because at some point, like, the kids you went to high school with are civilians.
Right.
Your mom and dad, you know, your family, your grandparents, like, all these people have these people in their lives. And, like, really, that's where you're going to go? Like, I just don't see it happening. And Crosshair, to an extent, might be right if he has no emotional ties, but at some point he's going to be faced with some ethical dilemma where he's not, I think he's going to be faced with a decision. He's not going to be able to pull the trigger, as it were.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what I see coming up. Right.
I you know, like we said, like we saw him kill, you know, order these civilians killed. The new stormtroopers did it. The one stormtrooper that, oh, spoiler, obviously. The one stormtrooper that didn't do it, you know, he took out himself, you know. But obviously, this is all heading towards a face-off with his old crew, you know?
Right.
And that's where we're going to see Crosshair, hopefully. Well, who knows how it will go down, but he should have a pause. He should have a hiccup. He should have a moment of consciousness, maybe with Omega. Maybe, you know, he's sent to kill Omega on the spot, and he can't do it, you know, kill a child like that. But we'll see.
And that, yeah. And, you know, and I think when you look at The Handmaid's Tale and you look at The Bad Batch, and you take those two story arcs of Crosshair being able to, you know, do the unethical thing of killing just unarmed civilians or whatever, and you look at the soldiers, pilots, and all this stuff in The Handmaid's Tale bombing civilians, it's like, I just can't imagine if that were to really happen that we would be in a situation where the United States would be overthrown in such a way. Like, it just doesn't strike me as that.
Yeah. Far-fetched.
Far-fetched. I think so. What else do you watch? Anything else? Or is that, like, are you just, like, going down the Disney Friday night rabbit hole?
Yeah, you know, like, I can't wait for Loki to break that up.
I'm looking for the Loki on Wednesday.
Give it a Wednesday night.
It's the new
something. and then, I don't know, I think, oh yeah, you know what? There is one other thing, the Mosquito Coast. Did I talk about the Mosquito Coast last week?
With Harrison Ford?
No, so the Mosquito Coast, remember the movie with Harrison Ford, yes?
Yes.
It is now a series on Apple TV Plus.
Really?
And it has Thoreau in it. He was in The Leftovers. He's also a very talented writer.
Is it good?
It's completely different.
Okay.
Like, I was such a fan of Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, River Phoenix, they go down to South America.
Oh, it was amazing. You know? I loved it.
They build the ice machine monster, you know, in the Amazon rainforest or whatever. And so it's just beautifully done as a movie. And I was like, all right, I was into the movie. I love the movie. Let's watch this. The main patriarch of the story, is an inventor. And they do the ice machine in the first episode. And I was like, oh, look, the ice machine is here, you know, but he's in America. And he's basically a handyman on farm. And we don't know why he's a handyman inventor on a farm trying to sell his product to farmers and, you know, these big industry farmers. And then he's like found out to be a fugitive. So he takes his wife and his two children to basically run south of the border in the opposite direction of all of the mules and, you know, the people trying to sneak across the border into America. He takes his white Caucasian American family to run into Mexico to run away from the FBI or the feds or whoever he's running from. And we don't know why fully he's running, but just seeing them running through the harrowing pass of, you know, unguarded borderland between Mexico and the United States is just heart-wrenching. And you see a couple of Latin American, you know, caravans coming up the other direction, and you're just like torn apart by the fact that the people are going through this to come to America, and now this family's going the other direction. But it's riveting, and, you know, I don't know where it's going. I'm about 3 or 4 episodes into it, but it's a great cast and, you know, great action and a lot of fun to watch. So something to bridge the time before Ted Lasso gets back on Apple TV+.
Ted Lasso. Yeah, and then to finish it up, we are continuing with Cursed on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, you know, it's been out for a while, so anything I'm saying isn't a spoiler, and I'm even making speculation because I've made it a point to not look up things.
Oh, good.
So the main character, the main actress, Merlin is her father, we come to find out, which we kind of had that idea. And since the beginning, my thought is that she's the lady of the lake who always throws up the sword, kind of the thing.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
We don't know this yet, but that's my assumption, is she's the lady of the lake. And yeah, I'm sure somebody out there who's seen it is probably yelling at me saying, of course she is, you dumbass. But
oh, did you see Shadow and Bone?
Shadow and Bone? No.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Either after Cursed, or if you need to throw something in the mix.
Is it a series or a movie?
It's a series.
Okay.
It's a series, and it's based on a YA, that's young adult fiction book series.
Got it.
That Audrey was kind of into. And it has Prince Caspian from the Narnia movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw the Narnia movies.
Yeah,
The actor that plays Prince Caspian is kind of the main character in this series. And it's a cool kind of fantasy. It's in your wheelhouse, the fantasy genre. So.
What is it, one season, two seasons?
Right now it's only one season. And it was so funny because Audrey made us watch it and we weren't really into it. And then we thought it was kind of too scary for Bryce because it's got, you know, monsters in the darkness.
Oh, that's the one you were telling me about.
Yeah. But we all kind of fell in love with it.
Oh, cool.
And by halfway through, Anne and Bryce were asking questions about it. I was kind of checked out in the middle, but by the time it ended, I was back into it and I was like, oh, it's over? That's it for the season? Like, yep, until the next season comes out, you have to wait. I was like, oh, and I was just getting into it. So it's an interesting thing. You know, it has what I imagine is Game of Thrones qualities, where there's these warring factions.
Sure, yeah.
Different countries of, you know, over this great, you know, fake map of a land, you know what I mean? And they have different powers. Some can, you know, some can change your heartbeat just by looking at you, by thinking about your heart. Some fabricators can just make things out of nothing. Then people can control the light and the darkness, you know? So it's like these different powers that these people have, you know?
Yeah, very cool. I'll have to check that one out. And I mean, it's definitely not for Bryce, I don't think. Audrey's probably old enough, but The Witcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, The Witcher was really good, too. Kind of like along the same lines and stuff. And it's just one season. I don't know if they're coming out with another one or not.
I think they are. I think I saw.
I think they are, yeah. I think it all got delayed because of COVID.
Right. What's the main actor in that? Is that Cavill?
I can't remember.
Superman, right? I think.
Yes, that's who it is.
Yeah.
That's who it is. But yeah, no, The Witcher was great. Kind of along the same lines, you know, a little bit magical, fantastical, fantasy.
Okay.
Medieval, you know, so you guys would probably like that. I would say Bryce is probably a little bit dark for him.
I'll send Audrey off to watch it and she can report back.
Yeah, I don't think Audrey, there's no nudity.
Audrey loves it. Audrey loves, like, she kind of watches stuff on her own. And then I'm like, oh, don't tell mommy you saw that. Okay, that's fine. And then I watch something and I'll tell her, all right, don't finish that. You saw the beginning of that movie, don't finish it.
Yeah, and it's not real sexual or anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's a little bit of that play in there, but it's not to the extent where, you know, a 15-year-old girl couldn't watch it.
Right.
But some of the stuff that I know Bryce wouldn't be into, like some of the dark arts sort of thing, he might be a little bit freaked out over, you know. But yeah, I would say Audrey needs to be the messenger on that one.
the tester.
The tester.
Send
Audrey,
her off the tester.
Go watch. Report back. Good for Bryce or not. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, man. Well, hey. Yeah, I had another good week. I'm glad you guys are getting a lot of good watching in. So, yeah, we haven't done movies in a few weeks. We've been doing a lot of TV shows, but we'll get back to it. We have the ebb and flow. You know, it's the ebb and flow.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're reviewing more movies now, so I think it feels like movies are coming back.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, like the movie theater, I don't know. You know, it's like, they're coming to the movie theater, but yet they're still going to be streaming. And then Venom is in theaters only, but, you know, only
in theaters only for 3 weeks. Yeah.
Right, right. And you know how time, like what I find is the older you get, like I blink and 3 weeks goes by and you're like,
totally.
Oh, I missed that one. Okay. I guess I'll watch it now. What's it on? Disney Plus, Netflix, you know, Amazon.
The only problem with me when I blink and 3 weeks goes by, I'm like, oh no, the mortgage is due again.
Exactly.
That's what happens in 3 weeks, every 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God. All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good night and, looking forward to episode 161 next week.
All right. Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.